everyone, and welcome to a Time Shifters podcast, Time Hop Edition. Today, we are going to look at a 2023 film from filmmaker Monty Light. Of course, him here with Tom. Almost forgot to introduce you this time around.
Man, I'm just not feeling the love, and I'm actually in studio.
I know, you're right in front of me. That's why there's no need to introduce you.
No, you're right here. You know I'm here. Doesn't everybody know I'm here?
For anyone who might recognize the name or it might ring some bells, Monty Light, we reviewed his film Blood Covered Chocolate.
And we did.
And we actually got to speak with the man afterwards.
Yes.
We did a brief interview with him and talked to him about the film. And he had mentioned that he was working on something very different.
Yes.
Which was his Bitter Tooth. Mm-hmm. It came out, and so he was nice enough to pass our information on to the people that were distributing the film. And so we got a hold of one of these screeners. This thing is going to be streaming exclusively on this Momitu, which is, I guess, a fairly new streaming service, ad-supported streaming service.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be kind of like a home for all the sort of films that don't typically aren't going to find the major distributors.
Lots of independent
films. Lots of independent films, as well as just old classic films.
Sure.
And probably a lot of public domain stuff. So
the easy stuff to get.
I'll probably be spending some time there.
You might not know Momitu or however you say that. You will know it soon.
Yes. Yeah, I will. I'll put a link in the show notes there for everybody on this review, so you can go and check out this this website too. So yeah, directed by Monty Light, written by Monty Light, Neil Tyler, and Cooper Holmes, starring Autumn Ivy, Genevieve Thomas, and Justin Michael Terry and Joel Altieri. Two female true crime podcasters, Iva and Mia, appear to be on the verge of unveiling the identity of a cold case serial killer known only as Bittertooth. With all the clues falling into place, the two track down the location of the man they believe responsible. Nothing and no one is what they seem, as obsessions for clicks lead to obsessions for revenge. Yeah, this was quite a bit different than Blood Covered Chocolate, but still had that psychological WTF kind of going on.
It had that and a little bit of, huh? Because following some of the plot, there's lots of reveal toward the end. And my criticism would probably be there's not a lot of breadcrumbs to get to the reveals at the end.
Yeah, I think I could see that.
Yeah.
There's definitely seems like you spend a lot of time just kind of with them podcasting.
Yes.
But that podcasting doesn't necessarily lead to where it all goes.
Like there's an intended twist, but usually you want to seed throughout your film the aha moments that if you had caught it or if you had known where we were going, you get earlier that this is where we got to. And upon retrospection, I don't know that I got a lot of those moments earlier in the film that lead to the kind of twist that we got at the end.
Yeah, I don't even know. You call it a twist. It's really... Oh my. The film takes almost a U-turn or a, I mean, it's, the direction changes sharply.
It does, very, very quickly. And I'm just going to throw in there, because I mentioned it earlier, one of the actors kept distracting me because he looked dead on Tom Wopat, Luke Duke himself, only much older with a big, thick beard and all that. But I'm like, I keep looking at him, I'm like, you're not a serial killer, you're a Duke boy.
You're a good old boy.
So I was a little distracted as I watched too.
Yes. Just for clarification, it was not Tom Wopat.
No, it was not.
No. The stars of the film, Autumn Ivy is the one who played Ivy in the film. And she apparently is a little bit of a web presence, and she's actually starred in like video games that sort of thing. So that's where, so I guess that she was a little, you know, she's a, what do you call him? A little bit of like a, I guess a web influencer or something like that. And so putting her in this type of roles is, it was a good fit, I guess.
It was a good fit. Not a stretch, not really requiring a whole lot of acting.
Right. Yeah. If that's just who you are.
But that meant she seemed natural in the role.
Yeah, absolutely. I also thought the Genevieve Thomas, who played Mia, I actually really liked her.
No, I, yeah, for any flaws that the film might have, actually the performances on the whole, other than maybe the one hick guy that
the son maybe
that's where it kind of all falls apart a little bit, is the actual relationships between all the characters kind of starts to break down after a bit. But all that said, the material that they're given, that they're able to very express it well. There's a lot of emotion in what's being carried, and it's compelling. You'll watch it. You mm-hmm. might not understand it, but you'll watch it.
Yeah, and I think that was my major issue, is at the end when you find out what's really happening and who did what to who and mm-hmm. what's going on. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, it really comes out of left field.
It really does. And again, because this is supposed to be, I get the podcast component, they're talking about serial killing and all that, and they try to introduce a little of what happened in flashback kind of scenario. But when you already say serial killer, I need a little more visceral. And while a good low-budget film can do it without showing too much, this needed to show a little bit more, I think.
I mean, we've complained about a movie being gory just for gore's sake.
Sure.
And that's definitely not the road I would want to see this take. I mean, there is, like, torture scenes that I don't want to see get terribly visceral, But
if you're going to talk about a serial killer, you kind of want to see serial killing scenarios.
Yeah, if you want to build terror, you need to maybe show something terrible.
Right, and again, because the tail end of the film kind of jackknifes that a bit, you could have seen the way that this was building, with a lot of the talking, the reveals of the emotions, who was involved in what. As you could build that, you could also see this going, because it was very much a vehicle for talking about the legitimacy of this kind of podcasting anyways, and where you draw the line between the content you create and what that might do to other people. I could have seen a scenario where the proposed serial killer, especially since they were big on, we're going to reveal the name of the serial killer. We mm-hmm. are not proper investigators. We are not dealing with law enforcement, but we're going to give a person's name
yeah.
and name them as this killer. You could have built up a great story where they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're dealing with the aftermath of that and the emotional toll on the people that were involved.
You know, you just describing that made me think of a really great way that I'm not saying Monty should go and do this now, but
right.
it would be fantastic. I could see the really interesting story where, yeah, a podcast or something names somebody like that. Yeah. They're wrong, but it doesn't matter. They ruin someone's life, and that drives that person to become
a serial killer,
the very killer yeah. that he was. They were accused
starting
of being.
Starting with the podcasters.
Starting with the podcast. Yes, I that would actually be cool.
And to a degree, that's what I was expecting to kind of a direction. Not maybe that even that specifically, but I wanted something where it just goes horribly wrong. They're completely off base. And seeing as how one of the podcaster has an intimate relationship with what has happened here, that maybe even wrecks her in the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's a total emotional fallout, and may it possibly legal fallout, possible actual deaths that incur from this. And we went completely sideways yeah. on that.
Yeah, very much.
So it's maybe worth watching, because you might like the sideways way that it went.
Absolutely.
It just didn't sit quite right with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it just shows that Monty Light is a film director that... or a filmmaker that I'll continue to watch for.
Absolutely.
Going forward.
Yeah, aside from the things that I'm not caring for in it, it was still definitely an even more step up from the last film. I feel progression. I like where he's going.
So check out Bittertooth. It will be available on Momitu. That's
going to be tough.
Names. I looked up on their website. It's for more me... And I think Spanish for you, or
okay.
or Latin. They may have said Latin, but it's Spanish as well for you. So
sure.
it's more for me and you.
It's more than I needed to know.
Give it a watch. Let us know what you think. Follow the link in the show notes to all the social medias or send us an email at timeshifterspodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back soon with a full episode. Talk to everyone later. Bye.
See ya.